This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. I am live at Jimmy's in Herndon, Virginia. That's why if you hear a couple of some noise in the back, I'm literally outside because of the music. Well, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good, my friend. Staying cool.
Outstanding. Anyways, always, first things we want to do is to remember members of the law enforcement community. First, we want to remember Trooper Miak May of the Nevada Department of Public Safety, Nevada, and of Watch, July 19th, 2021. Also, we want to remember Police Officer Ryan Blake, the Red Lake Nation Tribal Police, and of Watch, July 27th, 2021. And we also want to remember Police Officer Marquise Moyer, Selma, Alabama Police Department, end of watch, July 27th, 2021. Officers, your sacrifice is not forgotten. But anyways, Walt, second order of business is the testimony of the four officers that testify on Capitol Hill what happened January the 6th. Now, Walt, you and I are both former members of the New York City Police Department, and we've seen a lot and we've done a lot. You've done more than I have. But personally, I was actually embarrassed and disgusted of this display. The first officer that testified was a Iraqi war vet, and he was comparing his time in country to what happened on January 6th. Now, we don't know what happened January 6th. It was actually stupid. It was absolutely retarded. And, you know, personally, Ashley Babbitt got what she deserved. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. But then the two other officers from the District of Columbia, I think they were very overacting, my personal opinion. You know, especially coming from the District of Columbia, because they've seen things and do things. Just trust me, Metropolitan Washington, D.C. is not Mayberry. But the biggest embarrassment was Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. He testified and got emotional when he was called the N-word. Now, by nature, cops are seen as the enemy by the mutts in the street. People are going to call you names. People have called me names. I've been called cracker, honky, white bread, whitey, and I've been called the N-word, the ER version, not the A version. But this dude, sitting there on Capitol Hill, crying because he's been called the N-word. And, you know, this officer, his name is Harry Dunn, proved what I thought all along about the U.S. Capitol Police. It's a cushy job. I've been to the U.S. Capitol myself with Matt the Copperhead. They don't work in the ghetto. They're not doing gun runs. They're not doing by a bus. They're not having junkies overdose in the street. They're not dealing with a tent city. They're not being ordered to quotas for parked cars. No buys and busts, no baby mama drama, no domestics, nothing like that. But anyways, he was just an absolute embarrassment to not only to his department, but to all of law enforcement. It, more or less, he was a big baby. And he was an embarrassment to law enforcement. He's an embarrassment to his job. He's an embarrassment to a man. Somebody calls you an N-word. Somebody calls you a name you don't like. You don't sit there and cry. But again, he was coached what to say. And now, of course, the Pinko Tommy American hating phonies are talking about this guy like he's Elliot Ness or Wyatt Earp. And anyways, these Democrats are the same ones kissing the ass of these cops, are the same ones that support Black Lives Matter. They support defunding the police. And anyways, the Democrats treat the Capitol Police like the help. And then anyways, if you remember Nancy Pelosi, while she's sitting there praising Officer Dunn, she was wore the Kunta Kinte cloth for and knelt down for 8 minutes in honor of St. George of Fentanyl. And she also had the Floyd family at the Capitol and gave them a flag, which is absolutely disgusting. Meanwhile, we've been having a war on cops since 2014. And there's a time back in 2019, New York City's finest were eating their guns at once a month. And, you know, and once again, like I said before, Democrats hate cops. Now they're saying that, oh, Republicans want to defund the police. No, it's the Democrats. The Democrats hate cops. Democrats hate law and order. Democrats love criminals. They love prisoners. But anyways, for those who are saying that we're sitting here bashing cops, you know, get your head out of your ass. Look at our website. Listen to our archives. Listen to what we talk about every single week and so on and so forth. We have retired and active cops on our show besides Walter and myself. Well, what say you about this disgusting human being of a police officer?
You know, I read a little bit about this. I probably should have read a little bit more, but I got so disgusted as far as the mentality and the way this incident was explained by the people involved. You know, like you said a few moments ago, you know, a comparison to Afghanistan as opposed to the January 6th alleged invasion of the state capital. I mean, you know, you can't compare, you know, the dollars to donuts like that. It's just surreal. You know, like you said, it's a pretty good job. It's a glorified security job. When something happens, you know, they call in the real people. And in this incident, you know, first of all, you know, it wasn't Donald Trump's doing to have this march take over the Capitol building. You know, he said, go down here and tell them how you feel, which, you know, they wanted to do. But, you know, of course, there were people in there that were, you know, taken a lot too serious, to a serious degree, where, you know, it was just invaded. Now, the testimony of this guy, and, you know, I don't like to mention names of pussies on air, and I'm not going to. He, you know, he's just a disgrace in a different way. I mean, you know, I wasn't no angel. And people say that I disgraced it, and you disgraced it, and some of my friends disgraced it. But, you know, to stand there and like, cowardly tell some kind of like a story, you know, he might as well run for president next round.
Right, but you know, anyways, when we come back, we're going to be talking about this wonderful officer. Also, Black Rifle Coffee hates cops. Also, a really disgusting piece of human trash. Did something absolutely horrendous the media ignores about. Stay tuned, everybody. 75radio.org. 75radio.org. Take it away, boys.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass. I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born. I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. I'm at outside of Jimmy's in Homer, Virginia. Trying to meet some friends, but I think they all went home because they're old. But anyways, we're talking about this horrendous officer named Harry Dunn of the United States Capitol Police. So he got his feelings hurt because allegedly some white people called him the N-word. But anyways, Congress did not bring up was our buddy Lionel Black Rosebud Harris, who was at the Capitol on January the 6th. In fact, me and Black were supposed to meet up with each other, but since they shut down the whole city down and the surrounding jurisdictions, it was not meant to be. But anyways, Mr. Rosebud is darker than the Ace of Spades. And guess what? He was treated with nothing but love. So I kind of waved the Bravo Sierra flag on Officer Dunn in his testimony. But again, people are called worse things all day, every day. And here's another thing. You know, I don't hear Officer Dunn crying when he goes to a officer's funeral and things like that. I don't hear him talk about having to draw his gun or people getting hurt on the job. You know, for the NYPD, airmail has a special terminology. Eating your gun has a special terminology to us. But Mr. Dunn, he's worried about himself and being called names. Walt, you got anything to add?
Well, yeah. You know, he said that, you know, he's never seen anyone physically assault, you know, a Capitol Police officer or Maryland PD officer. And that's all fine and good. That just shows you he's been hiding inside the building, you know, for a number of years. Because, you know, where was he last summer? Did he not see anything on television? Did he not have any roll call or seminars on what the hell was going on last summer with the projectiles that were thrown that he said he never saw before and bike racks being used as weapons and flagpoles and anything else these people can get their hands on? Did he not see what was going on in the rest of the country last year? Did he think,
just in his own neighborhood? Because I remember they put D.C. on a curfew, and on my days off, or I get home late at night from work, and the whole downtown D.C. was on fire. And yeah, I was listening to the scat.
Mr. Trump was surrounded by, you know, White House security when he walked down to St. John's Church. You know, it just doesn't make any sense what this guy was talking about. And then he said he heard people, you know, threaten to kill him with his own gun. I mean, this is what this guy is saying. You know, whether it was true or not, I haven't heard anything on any video playback or anything like that. And such. He said that he had some kind of chemicals on his clothes, and he went home. He was afraid to hug his wife. But, you know, well, why didn't you take that stuff off before you left, you know, work? You know, you go back and forth, you know, if you had chemicals on your clothes, dumbass, you shouldn't have went home to begin with that
right.
stuff
number,
on you. You know, number no, two, number... you should have went to the hospital because you said it was burning your skin. So, this guy, I've heard of people with brown eyes that are so full of shit, their eyes are brown. And this is just horrible in so many ways, in so many
right.
ways.
Right. And number three, what are you doing as a member of law enforcement going to and from work in your uniform? You take that off, you know, you what they call, you know, put the bag on when you start work, and you take it off when you get off of work. You know, you're not riding Metro in your uniform. You're not going to the store, picking up a six pack of beer or some frozen dinners in your uniform because you're a target. So, anyways, I digress. Well, it's just absolute showmanship. Another thing I did not like was that is the facial hair. You know, police departments are paramilitary organizations, and their jobs are allowing people come to work or be in uniform with beards. I think it looks real sloppy, looks scruffy. I understand, you know, those in, you know, certain details, they need to have that look, and you know, they'll have to go to a funeral, go to a formal function, or they have to put the uniform on for like a parade or some big event, and, you know, and they look like that. You know, I've been to parades with my 5 o'clock shadow and long hair. I mean, but it wasn't fun. I felt bad because I looked like a bad guy. You know what? But, you know, but I digress. I mean, this fat slob Don, he's got a beard, not a very good one, but just it makes you look sloppy. I mean, I wasn't allowed to have a beard. You didn't have a beard. Jim Lancia, he wasn't allowed to have a beard, but anyway, you know, that's policing, 21st century policing. And I like to see how long it takes Officer Dunn to run the mile and a half. But anyway,
not only the beards and stuff, but you know, now there's some guys wearing 5X shirts in law enforcement, you know, size 57 in the waist pants.
Right. And they're on patrol.
Yeah, with a beard. And, you know, I mean, a lot of them, you know, I can't stress enough more that we are 100% pro-cop. We don't want anybody to think that we're not. But your appearance, you know, coming to my door, unshaven, fat slob, I'm not going to have much confidence. You don't take care of yourself much. I'm going to take care of my problem, my issue. So, you know, I just don't see it. I mean, you know, if I'm hanging out a four-story window, I don't need some fat cop trying to get up the stairs, you know, and not being able to get to where I am to help me, because probably I might as well start heading down the stairs and helping him with his heart attack.
Right. But you know, anyways, we could talk about this all night. But anyways, moving right along, in Baltimore County, Maryland, a 33-year-old woman with temporary custody of her 5 and 7-year-old niece and nephew was stopped by the police for having allegedly fake temporary tags on her car, because in Maryland, Virginia, if you don't have hard plates for your tags, you get to put a piece of cardboard, more or less, that's printed out as legit. I mean, if you run it through DMV, it'll come up to that car, hopefully. But anyways, she had fake tags. The car was going to be impounded. So officer says, all right, well, you can take your personal effects. We're impounding the car. So anyways, this piece of human debris pulled a tote bag and something wrapped in trash bag. And the officer said, officer on the scene said it smelled like something horrendous. Then the officer saw maggots in the trash bag and discovered the bodies of two young children. So anyways, this piece of human garbage
Nicole Johnson, told the investigators that she was staying in a motel when she hit her niece in the head. Then the child hit her head, and then I guess Johnson put the body in a suitcase and carried it around for many months. Months. And her nephew was allegedly tired, went to lie down in the car, and never woke up. Then Johnson put the boy's body in a tote bag and stuffed him in the trunk next to the body of his dead sister. Folks, I am not making this up. I had to read this two or three times, and I don't know whether to yell, scream, or cry, because I got kids, and just the mentality of this woman to, you know, have these kids die in her custody and just put them in bags in the trunk of the car just shows the absolute depravity this woman has on human life. I mean, these are her sister's kids, flesh and blood. But if you go to a website, you see a picture of the young lady, and she's able to get her hair all done and braided. She's got a couple of highlights that growing up, but just destroys you. Anyways, we come back, we'll talk about this, we'll talk about getting the jab, and we'll talk about Black Rifle Coffee. All right, stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
COVID vaccinations in the U.S. have picked up in the wake of the rise of new cases fueled by the spread of the Delta variant. The White House says more than 3 million people received their first dose of vaccine in the last week. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain tweeting Saturday that more adults have received their first dose than at any time in the last 2 months, and that large increases are being seen in states with large numbers of Delta cases. Nearly 70% of American adults have now received at least one dose. And the first flight evacuating Afghans who worked with U.S. forces has landed in the United States. The flight carrying more than 200 people landed outside of Washington, D.C. late Friday night as part of a program to get those who assisted American troops out of the country as U.S. forces are being pulled out. In a statement, President Biden welcomed them to the country and thanked them for standing with the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for Patriot VPN. Patriot VPN is a virtual private network service that uses military-grade encryption to protect your internet connection on all of your devices. With Patriot VPN, your data and internet privacy is secure anywhere in the world. Why do you need Patriot VPN? Cyber criminals, government, even your own internet service provider collect and use your private information without your knowledge. Examples in the news recently, remember all the companies that have been hacked? Cuba censored the internet to kill protests? Here in America, conservative groups are being actively targeted. Your personal information and internet history is being sold by your ISP. It's all happening every day, but not with Patriot VPN. With Patriot VPN, your internet activity and history is protected from prying eyes forever. Patriot VPN is a veteran-owned business right here in the USA. For business or your family, starting at only $6.95 a month, use code WAR and get 3 months free. With an annual subscription, it's all at patriotvpn.com. That's patriotvpn.com.
The director of the CDC is explaining why her agency adjusted its guidelines for mask wearing earlier this week. Brad Bernards reports.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, issued a clarification statement Friday night on Fox News' special report. Brett Baer had asked about masks.
The masks are really being put on for vaccinated people in areas of high density disease, such that if they were to get infected, that they knew that they might bring it to somebody who is immunocompromised, somebody who was not yet vaccinated. So it was really to prevent transmission.
From the USA Radio News West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
And the Senate held a rare Saturday session as a group of bipartisan negotiators worked to finish their $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Virginia Democrat Senator Mark Warner saying that the group is still hammering out the language of the bill with the hope of getting the full text out on Saturday. If the group is able to do that, debate on the bill and possible amendments to it could begin as soon as Sunday afternoon. You're listening to USA Radio News.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
We are back. This is 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Check us out at 7-5Radio.org, 7-5Radio.org. Anyways, back to this piece of human garbage, Nicole Johnson. We talked about this horrific crime, but what got me is not only this horrific crime, which unfortunately Maryland does not have the death penalty, but all those fine fellow inmates in Maryland Department of Corrections, I'm sure, will take care of her. But what really got me also was the lack of media coverage. This is absolutely horrendous. The lady has two kids die in her custody. She sticks them in bags in the trunk of her car and drives around with the kids in the trunk, like they're spare tires or water, something like that. But since she doesn't fit the narrative, she's not a Dylann Roof or Kyle Rittenhouse, they're going to ignore it. So, in which they did. So, because I had to look on local affiliates, local radio, news radio, local television to get the story on this piece of trash. But anyways, but you know that's the media for you. You have to look up the news, because, or you can sit there and just be lied to, and you know, big news stories you get ignored. Well, any closing thoughts on this piece of trash? I hope I see her have a very long, painful death.
Yeah, the mother of the kids also needs to go. She left her in charge. She left her sister in charge of her kids. And these kids were so badly decomposed, but, you know, had the mother ever checked on them? You know, did the mother come want to see them? You know, what's going on here with that? Want to dig into this woman's past and see if she's done anything like this before, if she's had any kids of her own that have disappeared, you know? This is just scratching the surface of this case, I believe.
Right, but we're not going to see any of it on Make the Light of Day on MSNBC or CNN. But you know, again, that's the media we have, the fourth branch of government. But speaking of fourth branch of government, with this Delta variant coming back, the media is all over like white on rice, and it's like, oh, now the CDC is telling you if you have the vaccine, you're fully vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask. I mean, I don't trust anybody, anything these people say. They've been wrong since day number one. But now they're saying if you don't get vaccinated, you're the problem, you're the evil person. But, you know, vaccinated people need to wear the mask. I mean, well, is this for public health, or they just want to control the sheeple?
Well, they're doing this in stages. You know, they had the first wave, then they had the second wave. Now they needed the second vaccination. So they had that wave. They had the next wave. They're seeing how many people got the shots. And, you know, they're judging how long this is going to take. And I posted yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before yesterday. You know, before you know it, you know, you're going to have to prove that you got a shot in order to file your income taxes. You know, you're going to have to prove you got your shot in order to go into a restaurant. You know, you're going to have to prove you got your shot when you buy gasoline, because they don't want you traveling too far. You're going to have to prove that you got your shots in order to be free. And that's not being free.
Yep, exactly. And then I heard during the break on tomorrow is one of the news stalkers program that nobody watches, except only people that live inside the Beltway, is another of the Dr. Fauci. But it's, you know, what's funny is that, you know, the people have, they're sick and tired of masks, they're sick and tired of being cooped up. They're out having a good time at the Jimmy's in Herndon, Virginia. Nobody's got a mask on. Everybody's having a good time. Nope. Eating, drinking, dancing, having a good time, except me. I'm all by my lonesome. But anyways, and now school is coming, starting really soon. So now my theory is that, oh, okay, school's starting, so the teachers' union, the school board's in the pocket of the Democrats, and so they're going to have the kids mask up, separate, if they even have school.
And I wouldn't be too surprised if they have to do this whole virtual learning again, which is just absolute disgraceful. But it's all about control. You know, they're telling you, get the vaccine. If you don't get the vaccine, you're the problem. But then they're telling vaccinated people who did sit there and get it. I'm not, you know, it's up to you if you get it. I'm not going to tell you to do it or not. You know, it's your body, your health. You still need to wear a mask, and these people will still wear a mask. And another thing is that, you know, we're told to get government out of our bodies, out of our wombs. But, you know, now the government's telling you, go get the vaccine. I mean, I don't know what to think. I think they're all full of crap. They all want to control us. They want to, you know, tell us what to do. And they want to watch us. And they want to pass laws watching us. Meanwhile, the border is wide open. The COVID counts for these illegal immigrants coming across the border is ridiculous. So they're coming across the border in Texas, and then the Border Patrol, U.S. military, is shipping them up to the Air Force base, and they're putting them on planes and shipping them all over the country. So these cities that have increase in COVID cases, look to the sources. Illegal immigrants come across from Mexico. But this Biden's just doing a bang up job. The border's wide open. People filled with diseases, but they're telling me and you to wear a mask and to get vaccinated. Real quick, did you see the video that came out from a dating site about vax that thing up by some old ass rapper?
No.
It's the funniest thing. It's the original song was Back That Ass Up. Then for the radio version, it was Back That Thing Up. Now this old dude's name's Juvenile. Well, it should be Juvenile would be wrong nickname for him. He's saying vax that thing up, and just very misogynistic, and it's like, hey, you want to be a thug and get with this girl, you know, go get the vaccine, which is absolutely stupid. But anyways, you know, folks, you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. I'm not getting the vaccine. Well, have you gotten the vaccine?
No.
Are you going to get the vaccine?
No.
Right. And if my job tells me I need to get the vaccine, well, guess what? I got to go talk to my shop steward and take it from there, because it's like, you can't tell me what to put in my body, putting on my body, other than legal narcotics. But anyways, moving right along, Walter, have you heard about Black Rifle Coffee?
Black Rifle Coffee? No.
Right. From the company, they're based out in Texas. Okay. Well, there's a coffee company called Black Rifle Coffee, started by a couple of veterans who were tip of the spear type of soldiers, not, you know, in the rear of the gear. And they call it Black Rifle Coffee. They have AK Coffee, AR Coffee, I guess, and something called Thin Blue Line Coffee, so on and so forth. So I'm thinking, great. Pro-America, pro-conservative, veteran-owned. I said, I should reach out for these guys to become possible sponsors. And I thought they had the same values as you, me, and our wrestler family. But I said, fuck. These jokers did an interview with the New York Times, and everyone knows that the New York Times hates veterans, conservatives, and patriots, especially conservative patriot veterans. And also they hate cops. But anyways, these two guys from Black Rifle Coffee did this interview, and the trash Kyle Rittenhouse, who happened to wear a Black Rifle Coffee t-shirt, you know, he bought the t-shirt out of his own pocket. And they also trashed the Proud Boys, who, you know, I really don't know about them. I don't care about them. And, you know, I really don't want nothing to do with them. And they trashed racists and anti-Semites and anybody that's, I guess, really patriotic and know the Constitution. I was like, okay. Okay. So then more news comes out for these people. Turns out the members of Black Rifle Coffee donated to Democrat candidates. Of all people, Democrats. Democrats are the ones that hate guns. They hate the Second Amendment. They hate the First Amendment. They hate law enforcement. And they hate the military. Is every time there's a Democrat in the White House, first thing that they be cut is the military budget. I know this firsthand. But anyways, it gets worse from these Black Rifle douchebags. these guys went on some podcast saying Drinking Bros or Drinking My Brother podcast, and then they threatened to dox Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a radio talk show host. He's controversial. He's also conservative and a patriot. Now, left-wingers love to dox people, have people ruin their careers, ruin their lives, ruin their marriages. So, anyways, forget what Alex Jones says and does, but these people are willing to do something the left does. But anyways, we'll talk about Black Rifle Coffee and a couple other things. Stay tuned, everybody. 7-5 Radio at Liberty News Radio Network. Take it away, boys.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Back. Talking about the Black Rifle Coffee Company or the Backstabbing Righteous Conservative Coffee Company. Before the commercial break, they want to talk about doxing Alex Jones, who has a right to his opinion, who is an American, who's committed no crime, who just raised the Bravo Sierra flag. And one thing that they don't fail to realize, these idiots from Black Rifle Coffee, is that the military support Alex Jones. Now, folks, I don't believe in boycotts. I believe in boycotts. So, anyways, I will look for another company to purchase coffee from, and I'll look for another company
to sponsor 75 Radio, because this network is very particular who we allow to sponsor on the network. If you got some flim-flam products or some sham going on, or, you know, make get rich quick or something like that, we don't want you. Or if you got, you know, these ED pills that say do amazing things and they don't, it's just, you know, placebo, you know, we do. No, thank you. But anyways, finally, Walter, you and I both love baseball. I used to follow the Mets. I don't follow any baseball teams anymore. But there's a team in the American League division that decided to change their names, because nobody came up, nobody from the organization in Cleveland said that, hey, you know what, this is offensive. Since the Washington Redskins changed their names, the Cleveland Indians decided to change their names to the Cleveland Guardians. Well, you're a big American League fan of the New York Yankees. What do you think of Cleveland changing its name to the Guardians?
Well, I think it's sacrilegious, really. You know, I thought it was sacrilegious when Washington Redskins, you know, became the Washington football team. You know, these things are just horrendous. You know, you could be offended by, you know. How about all those cowards that ran to Canada during the Vietnam draft? What do we call them? We call them draft dodgers. Is L.A. going to change the name?
Well, no.
You know, how freaking far does, you know, people want to go with this, you know, offensive? It might be offensive to somebody. Nonsense, ridiculousness. It's, you know, change it to the Guardians. Now, to me, the Guardians is the African-American group that represents New York City African-American police officers. So, you know, is Cleveland now, you know, the Cleveland African Americans now, you know, even the Negro Leagues had some catchy names, you know, the Monarchs, you know, Alabama Firecrackers, you know, they had some catchy names. I would like to see, maybe adopting some of the names, you know, of the former Negro Leagues that, you know, that folded when the American baseball started to, you know, after Jackie Robinson broke the race barrier. Now, you know, absorb some of those names. You know, once a year or so, they get together, the teams, and they put on the old Negro uniforms, you know, the old-fashioned ones from the 30s and the 40s and stuff. And, you know, I think that's really cool. As far as I know, and I looked it up a little bit, and there's something written about the way the Cleveland Indians became the Cleveland Indians, was they were paying homage to at least one Native American that played on their team in the late 1800s. So, you know, why didn't they just change their name to the Cleveland Native Americans? The term Indians is offensive. You know, I was in social work, and I used to take some people that I used to look after to what they called powwows in my area. And these powwows were Native American festivals, and they would sell, you know, spearheads and flutes and that kind of stuff, you know, to try to get the Native American culture better known. And the man who was the MC kept telling us white people that were giving them money for all their stuff and paying to watch them dance. He pretty much kept calling us racists, you know, that, you know, they're not Indians, they're Native Americans. Well, what were you before Native Americans? Because you weren't Americans before we got here. The guy just threw me off, so I never went to another one. Ever again. So, you know, that's more offensive than I think calling them the Cleveland Indians. I thought it was paying homage. You know, it's not like, you know, we're calling them the Cleveland Negroes, or, you know, the N-word. I hate to say the N-word all the time, because, you know, I do have a First Amendment right, freedom of speech. And, you know, as long as I'm not screaming fire in a crowded movie theater,
I should be able to say what we want to say. Like you said, you've been called cracker and a-hole and all kinds of things across the board. So have I just think people just got to get thick skin.
That's the problem. Everybody's got thin skin. Everybody's offended. Everybody needs safe spaces. But, you know, I know I had the perfect name for the Cleveland Baseball Club, and the name of the club has to do with Cleveland. It's a very special name because it has to do with Cleveland. It's been associated with Cleveland for years. I think they should be known as the Cleveland Steamers. Now, if you want to know where Cleveland Steamer is, you need to look online because I am not describing that here on Family Radio at all. So my vote is for the Cleveland Steamers because, frankly, they're just full of crap. I hope nobody goes to any more Cleveland baseball games. Or if you do go, you root for whoever's playing against Cleveland. And I can imagine
they're going to be wearing the Cleveland Indians shirts. You know, if I was a Cleveland Indians fan and they changed it to the Guardians and I got like four Cleveland Indians shirts, I'm not throwing them away and buying the Guardian shirt.
Right. Right. That might be another reason to for the name change. Oh, now you got to go buy new stuff. You know, people, the Cleveland Indian gear be flying off the shelves, and then people, you know, these idiots that follow these sports teams, like, you know, like their religion, they'll be buying the Cleveland Guardian stuff. So, but, you know, go ahead, buy overpriced tickets, you know, buy overpriced beer and hot dogs and whatever, and, you know, root for the Guardians. Or next year, the Guardians, the black officers in New York will get offended and have to change it to the Cleveland douchebags or something like that. But, you know, they're only shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, the games are ridiculously overpriced. All the food and the concessions and the souvenirs are overpriced. Granted, you know, it's a business and they want to make money, but, you know, keep shooting yourselves in the foot and calling your fans racist and see what happens, just like in football. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers. You know, is he going to Denver? Is he going here? Is he going to stay? Who cares? You know, Aaron Rodgers is a big boy. He, you know, let him do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. He's not hurting anybody. He's doing what's best for Aaron Rodgers. But of course, you know, people obsessed with sports and, you know, why is it you turn on the ESPN or the Fox Sports or any of those sports networks when there's not a game going on? They're analyzing, you know, sports news of the day. All they do is yell and scream like something's on fire. Like, Aaron Rodgers showed up to camp today. Will he go to Denver? Will he stay with the Packers? Oh, only time will tell. You know, why do they all yell and scream? I mean, these new televisions have like super sound, like theater quality sound. Why do they all have to yell and scream at the camera?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because, you know, there's so many people at home now not working, you know, that are getting paid to stay home by the government. They got to put on some kind of nonsense, ridiculous entertainment TV for these knuckleheads. They're up all night, you know, doing whatever, and then they, you know, they sleep all day, and they get up in the middle of the afternoon, and they turn on this ridiculous stuff about LeBron James. They want to hear, you know, who he's going to play for next year, and like you said, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I mean, who gives a flying, you know, rat's butt?
Right.
I don't, you know, they're getting paid $25-30 million a year. I'm not getting none of that. I don't care where they play. I don't care, if I'm a football fan and I want to watch football, I'll watch football. Baseball game. I don't want to hear about their personal baloney. Where they got to pick up their kids if they get traded. They got to, pick up their kids and their wives and move to the new city and this and that. You know, dude, you got enough money to buy your own damn plane, and fly back home every freaking night if you want. So, you know, I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
I don't want to hear about it. What they need to do is stop talking about these overinflated athletes and egos and. Well, there's another one in the book.
But Well, we made it to another week. We didn't get to the Black Lives Matter useful idiot story. But anyways, for Walter Yurku, this is Peter Scoops. Then reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week. Yes, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.